My name is Rennie Lane.
You are?
Yes.
It's incredible. Amazing. So we don't want to do typical bio history because that's just a big waste of time.
You can just get that on Wikipedia.
That's right. So I want some revisionist history.
All right.
Now, one of the things I know is you grew up, and I can say it right, in Oregon.
Yes.
Not Oregon.
Not Oregon.
Oregon.
Oregon Trail.
But you grew up there, and I can tell because you seem relatively normal.
Well, you don't know me that well yet.
That's true.
So
give me a little bit of the history of the things that people don't know.
My dad had a job change when I was about 11 years old, so we moved to Virginia. And then that's when I started getting more into music. I played trombone in high school and started writing some songs on the piano. And when I turned 18, literally like 2 weeks later, I moved to New York. Well, I actually always wanted to write music when I was a little kid. I wrote little songs on the piano, and I wrote, you know, for string quartet and different things like that. But it wasn't until I was about 16 and my parents got divorced and I kind of wanted to say something more than just piano notes. I wanted to put some lyrics in there. And so I started writing songs with lyrics and singing them myself, because who else was going to sing it but me, you know? Maybe eventually I'll sell the song or whatever. But then my manager flew down from New York to hear me perform some of these songs. And he said, you know, you should just sing your own songs. And I was like, okay, maybe I could see that. I could do that. And that'd be fun.
See, but now you just slipped that in there very casually.
But now I'm really serious about it.
You had a manager already, though.
Well, no, he wasn't my manager then. He was just, you know, a rock and roll dude from New York that my mom met through this other guy. It was very, you know, the stars aligned in a cool way to help me out. So he ended up working with me, and he's now my manager, and we've worked together for 6 years. So
did you really set up a mini club in your dorm
room
at Columbia? Tell me about, I want to know about this club. Like, was there a velvet rope and everything?
No, it was, everyone was welcome to come. That was the cool thing about it. My roommate was kind of, had a place at Trump Tower, so she never really came around that often. So I stole her bed and put it with my bed and put some plywood on top and started throwing these parties. I was trying to recreate kind of a East Village open mic scene, like the Sidewalk Cafe, but in my own room, because they didn't have open mics at Columbia. So, and anyone could play. It wasn't just me. I had my friends play, and we'd jam out, and there was some...
Was there a disco ball?
There was no disco ball, but there's a lot of Christmas lights.
Christmas lights are
good.
A lot
of Christmas lights, and a lot of those spot lamps with some, you know, orange and blue film over them, and I think we probably almost burnt down the whole dorm, but it was
good.
All in the name of rock and roll.
Important. So now, just for people who want to go back a little bit, there was The Like.
Yes.
Right? That was not your band. You joined that band, right?
I did. I was actually playing a show in LA, and they needed a keyboardist and a bass player for a tour. They were about to go on with the Arctic Monkeys. So kind of jumped into that situation for a little bit, and then didn't work out the way we expected, but I learned so much playing with them, and I love those girls so much. They're really cool.
And not bad touring with the Arctic Monkeys.
Can't complain.
People can go to your website and find out how you found a very special bra.
Oh, we did. We had this, there's this crazy ping pong table. They were obsessed with ping pong, so always before sound check, after dinner, doing ping pong, and they would hang kind of their trophies from the show on the ping pong table, which would include panties, bras, you know. I think it was actually not that risque. They're really actually nice guys. Yeah, they're gentlemen, those guys. So, but you know, a bra here and there, you know, why not, you know?
That's what I say. That's what I said just this morning. You were one of MTV's first ladies of rock.
First.
Yes. What do you get? Do you get a crown? Do you get like a first lady of rock crown?
You don't get a crown, but you get a magic wand.
Magic wand. So what can it do?
You can do like all the standard Wingardium Leviosa, Accio guitar, you know. Are the geeks here realizing what I'm referring to? All right.
I'm sure the people out there, out there in the world watching this.
Ooh. I'm a huge geek at heart, so.
We're going to get there. Now, the new band, am I correct? They're officially called The Hawks?
Well, they're They're called the Stringfellow Hawks.
The Stringfellow Hawks. Were they that before they were with you, or did they conjure that up?
They used to be called Lavendi, and I've known them forever, actually. But then they just recently changed their name to the Stringfellow Hawks before I got together with them.
But the record doesn't really say Rennie Lane and the Stringfellow
Hawks. No, it doesn't. I think it's kind of, we're trying to figure out how to abbreviate it. Like maybe SF Hawks? It also sounds like San Francisco Hawks.
Sounds like a football team to me. Or, you know, I don't know. What could it be like?
Well, you know, it's weird.
Rugby.
We actually were driving here and a hawk swooped right in front of the van.
And you screamed out, Stringfellow.
Yes. And that was kind of answered. A sign from God for us.
And it answered. So piano, I believe piano was first. We know about the trombone because people can go to the 10 Things About Rennie Lane.
Yes,
and you mentioned
they can.
Guitar. How many others? How many instruments in the Rennie Lane
lineup? I'm not saying I'm not really great at guitar or any of the other things I can play. I played like xylophone and bass drum and the drum band. What is it called? Drum troop? Marching drum, blah, blah.
Drum troop.
Drum troop. I like that.
That's
drum
a good
troop.
Name for a band. That was Drum Troop
the drum
with their
troop.
New song, We Don't Like Bongos.
We don't like bongos. Drum Troop, their new single.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess that's about it. I played flute for a little while, but then I got braces.
Tell me about that David Bowie thing that you do.
That David Bowie, gosh, he's so amazing. Every year for Halloween, well, you could see this also on the 10 Random Things About Me on my website, but I dress up for a different kind of David Bowie every year. So I've done the Thin White Duke, and I've done Ziggy, and I've done Aladdin Sane. So I'm kind of running out of options. I mean, there's still quite a bit there, but someone gave me...
How do you do station to station? You know, it's like...
It's
going to
be hard. There's another person gave me a good idea of you should dress up as Ziggy from Labyrinth, too. Like,
ooh.
Just throw that in there, you know?
I want to hear about your use of technology, in particular Nintendo controllers. Can you tell me?
Oh, man.
I understand that Nintendo controllers play a vital part in your stage show.
They do. You know, I didn't bring them on this tour, but I have used them to trigger effects. I found this crazy program on the internet where all wonderful things come from that allows you to trigger different sounds with using the Wii, with like actual drumsticks like you do on Wii Music. So for a while, I was triggering the timpani on Place for Us with the Wiis. Bum, ba-bum, which is really cool. And I'm excited to see what people do with that, because all this new technology out there, people get into it and they start rigging it and changing it around. So I think there's going to be some bands in the future that just use video game controllers.
What's it like to go out and play songs that you know 99% of the crowd, unless they've been leaked through various internet places, what's it like to play songs that people haven't heard yet, that they're hearing raw for the first time?
Well, I think when I listen to a song for the first time, it's, you know, just... let me think about this for a second. I think listening to a song for the first time is the most exciting time you listen to a song, because you aren't expecting any of the changes or what the lyrics are going to be. So it's kind of like going into unknown territory. So when I listen to a really great song that I have never heard before, I think it's really exciting. And so I think in a way, this is kind of the most exciting and raw tour that we're going to do, because everyone will be hearing it for the first time and really taking in all the lyrics and taking in the sounds.
If you're really lucky, super lucky, you'll sell X amount of records.
Yeah.
But it's really about the merch and the touring. But, you know, the money's in different places. So in the end...
Where's the money? I don't really think about the money, you know. I think what I think about and what I want to focus on is when I'm playing a show, like the people in the crowd and seeing their faces and, you know, connecting with them. I think that's what I focus on. And the money and the touring and all this different stuff, it's like that's just something that helps you reach more people and connect with more people, you know.
But the money, one of the places the money is, and you've started out with it, is, you know, you've had a sink in the L word,
yeah,
which is pretty cool. So
that was really cool, definitely.
So how do you feel about that moving forward? Because artists always have kind of a strong opinion of whether they want to, if you'll excuse the expression, pimp their music mm-hmm. for, you know, for commerce versus art. Mm-hmm. So what's your opinion on all of that? Do you have one?
I think as a good example, you know, Phoenix, who was just here a couple weeks ago, they have their song in that Mercedes ad. And honestly, I don't mind. I think it's cool that I can actually turn on the TV and hear Phoenix as opposed to, you know, some other music that I wouldn't really want to listen to. So I think, you know, it's more about what the fans think. And if they're comfortable, I guess you just always have to ask yourself, you know, would my fans be angry with this or would it make them happy? You know, I don't know if I'd put my music on like a, you know, cheese commercial. That's just kind of gross.
Cheese. That would be cheesy.
That would be pretty cheesy.
That would be pretty cheesy. You're also, from what I can tell, a fashion icon. Are you in the lookbook of a well-known designer, I hear?
I don't know. You have to Google it.
That's what I heard.
I'm not allowed to talk about that, actually.
Are you really not?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, actually.
Oh, really?
No,
Is this new news? Is this new news?
I don't know. No, who are you referring to?
I don't know.
Well, then,
we'll have to keep it a secret for now.
It doesn't have to be a secret. I mean, I think fashion is cool. It's an expression of yourself, you know, and I think, you know, there's something, I like to dress kind of weird sometimes, like a little recklessly, and I don't always do things the right way. And I think that's why fashion designers are attracted to me and my music, you know. It's not just like a looks thing, it's an attitude.
So I read on your Twitter feed that, I thought this was highly appropriate that every time you go to LA, you see Ron Jeremy on the Sunset Strip.
I do, you know
what? An appropriate place to see Ron Jeremy. The question is, does he see you?
I hope he doesn't see me. I hope he's not stalking me. I really was quite concerned. But I have literally every time on the Sunset Strip in LA, I see Ron Jeremy. And it's like, again, really, are you kidding me? I think he just really likes my music. I think he wants to do a collaboration, actually. Did you hear about this? TMZ?
This is pretty special. I think we have an exclusive here. Wow. I'm excited. So how many songs do you have in the hopper for the next album and B-sides and all that
stuff? Oh, man. Well, I think just to keep saying you have to keep writing music, it's been almost a year since we mastered the record. And so you have to be really patient, you know.
That must feel weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I want to get the songs out there and start, you know, rocking out and playing for people. But, you know, there's a timeline that the label wants to go on. And I'm going to trust them to do their thing as long as they trust me to keep writing songs and having fun and rocking at shows. So, well, Place for Us is a song that I wrote with David, same guy I was talking about, who's been my manager for 6 years. And it's kind of about envisioning a place where I could belong. When I wrote the song with him, you know, I didn't really know where my direction musically was going. And I was trying to figure out, am I going to make another record? What's the next step? So I guess it's just that song's trying to feel out where I go next. And writing that song was kind of a reassuring myself that there's a place where I can belong, a place for me. And this song is called A Place for Us. Even You is a song that I wrote also with David and my friend Sam about kind of the stereotypical Brooklyn girl that everyone wants to be like or everyone wants to get with, and even the girls want to get with, you know, in a way, or they're jealous. So, and I had just moved to Brooklyn when I wrote that song. So I just kind of took, you know, a bunch of images that I had from moving there and getting used to the people there and that new scene. We made this really kind of old school rock and roll song about this crazy girl. Because a lot of great rock and roll songs are just about a girl, straight up.
And when you're saying Brooklyn, are we referring to Williamsburg or Dumbo or?
Well, I moved to Red Hook, but yeah. So I think the zip code we said is 11220, but I think that's more around Williamsburg. So
the
I think
it's poking the hipster heaven.
It was a little bit poking fun of hipsters, but you know what is a hipster? All right, this song is called Even You. Song we played is called Drive, and that's actually a song I co-wrote with Linda Perry and also with David. So that's a funny song because actually I had a meeting with kind of a big producer songwriter guy in LA. It was my first time going to LA and doing these kind of meetings, and I totally messed up. I kind of didn't say the right things and got the wrong impression and kind of made a fool of myself. So that song, that's what that song is about making a mistake and just admitting to it and, you know, asking for help from someone. Because I realized right after I did what I did, what had happened. And the only way I could kind of express that was in a song. Hello, my name is Rennie Lane, and this song is called Drive.
Wrong. I was hoping you could.